Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right, right now you have Antichrist, anti-God, Hamas terrorists rioting in the streets of New York and other cities. And where are they getting the funding to do this? Well, law scholar Mark Levin has some pretty good ideas. So take us to Mark Levin.
In Israel last week, as you well know, and watched some of the activities that took place there as a result of the Biden administration policies of appeasement with Iran and intentionally funding Iran to the tune of over $100 billion. None of this would be happening if Donald Trump were president. Iran was broke, on its back, and about to be overthrown by its own people. But I keep hearing our own media, news people ask, these riots, these violent people at Columbia University or our other universities and in our streets and all the rest of it, who's funding these people? Who's funding these people? You know, it's a funny thing. I thought it was the job of the media to figure out the who and why. So I'll do it. And never again do I want to hear anybody in the media say, who's funding these people? First of all, I've done this before, but I'm going to do it tonight, and I'm going to expand upon it. You want to know who's funding these people? The Democrat Party and the terrorist regimes. What? You have a fusion of Marxists, you have a fusion with Islamists, a complicated matrix and network of Democrat Party billionaires and millionaires and dark money, including Soros, including the Tides Foundation, among others, and you have Hamas funding, the Muslim Brotherhood, and others. Also a funding network, and Qatar, which is funding colleges and universities. In other words, the enemies of America. And this has had an enormous effect on our foreign policy toward Israel, their attacks on Netanyahu, the goal to overthrow the Israeli government for the purpose of installing a puppet regime that will bend to the Democrat Party donors, Hamas, and the enemy of Israel. And it's all being done right in front of our eyes. And if we had a real media, you'd know a lot about it. So let me cobble this together from certain media reports and others and tell you what's taking place here. Unheard, a fantastic site. Here's a piece by Park McDonald from just a few months ago, and I can't read the whole thing. The division between the activist left and the party establishment is little more than a politically useful fiction. In reality, the radical cadres are bankrolled by the same nexus of progressive oligarchs and dark money, that is, dark money slush funds that finance the party establishment. The DNC protest, for example, was organized by two progressive Jewish NGOs, Jewish Voice for Peace and If Not Now, the same groups behind a rowdy pre-ceasefire protest at the U.S. Capitol, which more than 300 people were arrested. Both groups are funded by an array of big money progressive donors, including George Soros, the Rockefeller Brothers Foundation, and the Tides Network. These are charitable wings of major financial institutions as well. Part of Vanguard, Fidelity, Morgan Stanley, another group called 1630 Fund, another big group called Arabella Advisors, an umbrella group, a Democrat Party, billionaire, millionaire group, the head of the octopus that pushes monies into these organizations. Soros, of course, is the most prominent individual Democrat donor in the country. He personally spent $170 million to get Democrats elected in 2022 midterms. His nonprofit spent at least another $140 million. Arabella Advisors is less well-known, but maybe just as influential. It's run by Clinton World insider Eric Kessler. The for-profit consultancy manages a vast and opaque empire of funds and nonprofits aligned with the Democrat Party. Its role, in essence, is to allow wealthy donors to hide their donations. And they're hiding hundreds of millions of dollars worth. Scratch a nationally prominent pro-Palestinian organization, and you're likely to find Democratic oligarch money somewhere. The radicals and the Democratic establishment work together towards shared ends, even when they're fighting. This is especially true when it comes to Israel. The Biden administration's allegedly pro-Israel stance is more rhetoric than reality, a pose adopted to box critics into a corner, constrain Israel's ability to act independently of the United States, and obscure the true nature of the White House's Middle East policy. That policy, as Edward Luttwak wrote in these pages, is to fulfill Barack Obama's ill-conceived desire to distance the United States from Israel and Saudi Arabia and to reconcile with Iran. Plus, at the same time as it is granting defense credits to Israel, the White House is also funding Iran. I want to thank our friend Charlie Kirk, who put it all together here. What are we talking about? John Kirby said the other day to Peter Doocy, we're not doing that. What are you talking about? This guy Kirby is the worst of the propagandists. $10 billion in November 2023, Biden regime approved a sanctions waiver that unlocks upwards of $10 billion in frozen funds of Iraqi payments for Iranian energy. $6 billion, September 2023, as part of a prisoner swap, Blinken ensured Iranian funds would be moved into a restricted fund for humanitarian trade. Oh, yeah, right. $10 billion. July 2023, Blinken signed a national security waiver allowing Iraq to deposit payments for Iranian energy into non-Iraqi banks in third countries instead of into restricted accounts. $3.42 billion. August 2021, the IMF sent $3.42 billion to Iran in special drawing rights. The Biden administration had the authority to stop it, but did not. 80-plus billion since 2021. Iran's oil exports have surged, breaking records, because the Biden administration has eased enforcement of sanctions, allowing an explosion in illicit purchases, mostly to communist China. $3.8 billion since 2021. Iran turned to the sale of petrochemicals to avoid a Trump-era sanction. Sales have surged, thanks to Biden. $1.6 billion since 2021. The Trump administration imposed sanctions on Iran's steel industry, which the Biden administration has not enforced. As Kirk says, the Biden administration says its commitment to Israel is ironclad, but apparently so is its commitment to funding Iranian terrorism. Even on military matters, continues the piece, the U.S. has tried to split the difference between Israel and the Iranian axis of resistance. Since October 7, the latter, especially Iran and its prized proxy Hezbollah, has balanced vituperative criticism of Israel with claims that Hamas acted alone and demands that the U.S. restrain Israel from escalating beyond Gaza. The White House has complied, demanding that Israel not carry out any significant operations against Hezbollah in Lebanon, and leaking to the American press that it views Israel's relations to Hezbollah daily cross-border attacks as an attempt by Jerusalem to create a pretext for a wider war that could draw the U.S. in. The U.S. has, moreover, publicly backed the Iranian and Hezbollah claims that Hamas acted independently and without their knowledge on October 7, despite early public assessments from former U.S. intelligence officials that the sophistication and complexity of the attack was beyond what Hamas could do on its own. And it's now been proven that Hamas had the backing and training of Iran. The U.S., in other words, has effectively boxed Israel in. Having been struck hard by an Iranian proxy, Israel can attempt to eliminate that proxy on an accelerated timetable at the cost of massive international outrage and to limited strategic benefit. But it is being prevented by U.S. from taking any proactive measures to reestablish deterrence against Tehran, even more recently. Same thing. Now, read in this light, the oligarch-funded protests against Biden are somewhat less mysterious. They are, in fact, a useful form of kabuki. Biden pretends to be the best friend of Israel, that is, Israel has ever had, while the left pretends to hate him for it. Both sides benefit. For Biden, pressure from the left gives him leverage to turn around to the Israelis and say, you better listen to me, or I'll have to cave to my party's flank, while offering his party's Jewish and pro-Israel voters a show of the president's resolute commitment to the Jewish state, even as he courts Iran. And this pose is especially important in justifying the latter policy, since Americans remain overwhelmingly supportive of Israel and overwhelmingly hostile toward Iran and its terrorist proxies. The left, meanwhile, gets to demonstrate its principled independence from the Democratic establishment while setting the stage to extract concessions within the party and party-adjacent bureaucracies, set-asides for Arab, Palestinian, and Muslim staffers, a national strategy to counter Islamophobia, presumably be administered by professional anti-Islamophobia activists, and a general resetting of the Overton window for the next round of conflict. Plus, there's the continued channeling of nominally anti-system energies into a web of party-controlled nonprofits, which has already proven themselves adept at redirecting the righteous anger of America's radicals into a never-ending jihad against racists, MAGA extremists, and other deplorables. Well, what else do we have? December 7, 2023, from Fox. A nonprofit that has received donations from George Soros has been bankrolling groups who have hosted pro-Palestinian rallies, according to a watchdog group. The nonprofit San Francisco-based Tides Foundation has been given over $22 million from different causes. The Tides Foundation has then given millions to liberal organizations who have all organized pro-Palestinian protests, according to the Capital Research Center. Democrat Party, Democrat Front Groups, Democrat Dark Money, Soros, other Democrat billionaires and multimillionaires funding what you're seeing in the streets, as well as the Hamas funding network, as well as Qatar in our colleges and universities. Washington Free Beacon. Look at this. Community Justice Exchange, part of the Soros-funded Tides Foundation, solicits legal defense donations for arrested protesters. The protests, which took place in dozens of U.S. cities, including San Francisco, Chicago, New York City, Philadelphia, were organized by A15 Action, a newly formed group that worked to coordinate a multi-city economic blockade on April 15 in solidarity with Palestine, quote-unquote. The group's website directs users to a bail and legal defense fund hosted through Act Blue, the Democratic Party's online fundraising juggernaut. Shutting down bridges, getting into tunnels, all these things that disruption are funded by wealthy Democrats through dark money and front groups. Those who donate to the fund, Act Blue page says, are sending money to the Community Justice Exchange, which provides, quote, money, bail, court fees, fines, and other legal services to community-based organizations. The exchange is a project at the Tides Center, a left-wing dark money network funded by Soros and other left-wing billionaires. The protesters who organized the global event under the title A15 targeted economic choke points. Economic choke points. With the express purpose of causing as much financial disruption as possible, according to their website. And he goes on, your man Soros, Washington Free Beacon, October 18, 2023, Chuck Ross, hundreds of protesters with Jewish Voice for Peace, and If Not Now, INN, infiltrated the Capitol to call on the Israeli government to issue a ceasefire in response to Hamas terrorist attacks on Israel. We refuse to stand by as the Israeli government commits genocide against Palestinians in Gaza, said Jewish Voice for Peace, which calls itself the largest progressive Jewish anti-Zionist organization in the world. It's Marxist and pro-Islamist. And the protest comes as anti-Israel pro-Hamas groups call on lawmakers to pressure Israel to end retaliatory strikes against Hamas strongholds in Gaza. The Council on American-Islamic Relations. This is a Hamas front group that was created in Philadelphia, funded by Hamas, that has as its purpose to pretend it's a moderate civil rights Muslim organization with representation in our media, in the Biden administration, in the Democrat Party, a complete front group. More. Look at this. Washington Free Beacon. The son of left-wing mega donor George Soros has visited the White House at least 20 times. Since Biden has been president. This is a year old, so it's more than that. Alex Soros, who recently took over his father's Open Society Foundation, it funds progressive organizations. I hate this word, progressive. It's Marxist organizations and Islamist organizations. Has held meetings with several senior White House advisors. He was named the new head of the foundation in June, announcing he's more political than his 92-year-old father. Open Society pours millions of dollars into Democratic organizations to help elect radical progressive prosecutors who are overseeing rising crime in American cities, like the one who's trying to put Donald Trump in prison as I speak. Now, Soros Alex is known for his connections with high-level Democrats. He's posted photos with Biden, Harris, Pelosi, and the like. There's more. The New York Post. The pro-Palestinian protests over the last months, where tens of thousands of the U.S. have chanted for the end of Israel, not merely a story of organic rage. They are also funded in large part by an uber-wealthy American-born tech entrepreneur, Neville Roy Singham, and his wife, Jody Evans. Since 2017, Singham has been the main funder of the People's Forum, which has co-organized at least four protests after 1,200 innocents were murdered in Israel. He's done more than that. A review of public disclosure forms shows that the multimillionaire Singham and his wife Evans have donated over $20.4 million to the People's Forum from 2017 to 2022 through a series of shell organizations and donor advisory groups, accounting for nearly all the group's funding. It goes on. Singham is more than just a Marxist with deep pockets. He is also a China sympathizer who lives in Shanghai and has close ties to at least four propaganda news sites that boost the Chinese Communist Party's image abroad, the Times reported. And it goes on. Born to a Cuban mother and a Sri Lankan father in 1954, Singham grew up steeped in far-left politics. His father, Archibald Singham, worked as a professor of political science at Brooklyn College and was the first scholar in residence at the New York State Martin Luther King Jr. Institute for Nonviolence in Albany. When he was 17, he joined the Radical Marxist Group and Labor Union League of Revolutionary Black Workers. And the following year, according to a 2021 blog by Singham, quote, like all disciplined cadre, I went to work in the factory. 1974, the FBI investigated him as potentially dangerous because of background emotional instabilities or activity in groups engaged in policies inimical to the United States, according to its report, which he published on his blog, and it goes on. Wow, what a matrix of network of billionaires, all Democrats, every damn one of them. And I went over this report before. The Hamas Network in America came out last October. It was put out by a program on extremism at George Washington University. Hamas supporters have long operated in the United States. Internal Hamas documents and FBI wiretaps introduced as evidence in various criminal cases clearly show the existence of nationwide Hamas network. Hamas is part of the Muslim Brotherhood. That's that umbrella operation of terrorist Islamists. If terrorist Islamists clearly show the existence of a nationwide Hamas network engaged in fundraising, lobbying, education, and propaganda dissemination dating back to the 1980s. The network formalized its existence in 1988 when it created the Palestine Committee in the U.S. The committee's goals included, quote, increasing the financial and moral support for Hamas, fighting surrendering solutions, and politicizing the savagery of the Jews, quote, unquote. The committee spawned several public-facing organizations, much of which are based out of Chicago, Dallas, and Washington. They included an all-purpose Islamic Association of Palestine, the financial arm represented by the Occupied Land Fund and the former Holy Land Foundation, and it creates think tanks, and it founded CARE. Individuals and networks providing various forms of support for Hamas have been active in America for decades. Small numbers of Palestinians who belong to the Muslim Brotherhood networks in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank, in fact, arrived in the U.S. since the 1960s to study at American universities, or immigrants, refugees, and so forth. And it goes on in great detail. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is in the public record. It goes on and on. Here we have from the ADL, it's finally gotten off its ass and doing its job, a list of a number of the groups that have been formed that are doing what you see in the streets. And I just want to be clear. I've been at the forefront, the point of the spear, making the point that we have a fusion between American Marxists and Islamists. They're coordinating together. They're working together. They're funding together. And it is the Democrat Party that's overseeing all of it. And you can see the change in the Biden administration when it comes to Israel and the phony declarations about how he has Israel's back while he's sending over $100 billion directly and indirectly to Iran. He hasn't stopped that. Well, he's telling Israel, you're not to go on offense. Why is man Blinken, who is a Marxist ideologue, that's what he is. Go ahead and look it up. Look it up. It's out there. It's in the public record. He hires Robert Malley, a special pleader for Iran, who brings in individuals who are back-channeling with the foreign minister of Iran to negotiate for us on the nuclear deal. That's what's going on, ladies and gentlemen. That's who's funding the protest. This is who the people are. Now, media, report it and stop wondering why.
Alrighty, we are back, and
Boy, he covered a lot of ground real fast, didn't he?
Yeah, he did it. He did it very fast. But now remember, Joe Biden says that he listens to AOC. I learned to listen to that woman and do what she says. And what does AOC say? Kill all Jews. Kill all the Jews.
The Jews,
right?
Yeah. Just today he was out there giving an Earth Day speech. And with him was Alexandria Cortez and a couple other of the, what's his name, the socialist, Bernie Sanders and a couple others. Anyway, AOC opened for him, and she applauded the pro-Palestinian protesters, you know, and she and Ed Markey, and there were the opening act there, and Biden was announcing the expansion of a American Climate Corps, a green jobs training program, where he's going to spend millions and millions and send all these young people to work and give them jobs in the environmental field. Anyway, when she got done speaking, she had been, again, promoting, you know, all the protesters. Biden gets up and tells the crowd, you know, I learned a long time ago, listen to the lady. Listen to that lady. Now, what's amazing is when he gets done with his speech, he said, I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. Well, I haven't seen any program, but I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians. So yeah. Here we have both ways, Biden. He's for Israel, but he's for the Palestinians. He's for being able to defend yourself, but he's for being able to attack and kill Jews. I mean, both ways, Biden, you know, he's going to get your vote. He's going to tell you what you want to hear. The only trouble, folks, is, you know, you can't be, both things can't be true.
That
never happened, G.I.
That wicked old man is demonically possessed, Joe.
He is.
And here, you know, now he wants to force, this happened on Friday. The Biden regime announced a new rule which aims to force employees to cover abortion under the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act, okay? The regime's Equal Employment Opportunity Commission filed the 400-page rule titled Implementation of the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act on Monday morning. The rules and publication is scheduled was scheduled actually for Friday. According to the rules summary, it will require a covered entity to provide reasonable accommodations to qualified employees to go kill babies, to be able to go and kill their babies too. This man is evil. This man
that we pay for, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Again, this is government funded, and at the same time, he is forcing every agency in the federal government to go out and help support the election. Go out and basically support the Biden campaign. And it's totally unconstitutional. It's illegal. It's immoral. But he's doing it anyway. And, oh, you haven't really heard stories on this in the press? Guess what? They don't want to report it. They don't want you to know.
Yeah. I had to laugh.
Mission, right?
Yeah. CNN's Wretched Mad Cow today. I was watching her, and she was talking about how President Trump seemed lost in the courtroom, like he didn't know where he was at. That wretched mad cow.
Bored to tears, sitting there.
Yeah. Well, this is going to backfire on him. What they're doing is they're showing the American people how corrupt they are, how just completely corrupt. And I had to laugh when that corrupt judge, when he says, now remember, the state has to prove Trump guilty, and that look on his face like, don't worry about it, when he's talking to the jury, it's in. We've got it fixed. It's fixed. That's how we do things in this corrupt court here in New York. And there's no honor. There's no integrity. There's no decency at all. There's nothing here that has any positive merit about it at all. It's all completely, completely corrupt, completely. Now, here's the thing, Joe. Biden says a child gave him the middle finger. It happens to me all the time, he says. Well, you know, we don't condone children acting like Democrats. But you know what? Well, believe me, Joe, what he's done to the children is much, much worse than what any child could do to him.
I have a feeling it's children that he's come up there and sniffed the back of their neck or touched them or done something to upset them. He's, I've seen too many pictures of children that were trying desperately to get away from him. So,
yep.
You know, I guess I couldn't blame him for that. I'd want to get away from him too, right?
Yeah, Biden says that. I've watched some of the looks on the faces of these, the mothers of these children that Biden got a hold of. But here, Biden said, you know, this, that a 7-year-old and 8-year-old gave him the finger in Scranton, New York. You know, let me tell you, if you think that's something, boy, wait till you see what God's going to give him. Biden, you've got a burning lake of fire waiting for you. I mean, you really have. And you might not believe in hell, but you're going to. You're going to. And so, now the International Criminal Court is going to want to try to do to Netanyahu. They're setting up. They're going after Netanyahu, just like they're going after Trump.
Right. They want to get him for war crimes.
Yeah.
But for, you notice they never said anything about the rapes, the babies murdered, babies kidnapped, the women that were some of the stories I read about what they did to the women they raped, I didn't even want to tell them on the radio. They were so atrocious. And yet you didn't hear the criminal courts say anything about those people that committed these horrible acts. Not a word. So Israel goes to defend itself and wipe out Hamas, who wants to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, and now they're guilty of war crimes. But terrorism's okay. War crimes, bad. Terrorism, good.
Well, Israel provided that sheriff's conference where the sheriff was telling us today with a film. They have filmed they took all of the films that Hamas filmed when they filmed killing people and this and that, and they got all of that, and they put it together in a film, and the sheriffs, they provided it for these sheriffs to see what Hamas is really all about. And he was describing a lot of that today, how, again, but he was surprised because in a sense that here, as horrible as all these things are, and he's talking about if they come out here, we'll be prepared for them. But the people, 90% of the people, were more concerned about the FBI than they were Hamas.
Yeah, that is really something. That really is. Well, I can see why. Look what the squat. When I think you were sick, I was talking about earmarks and some of the earmarks and the money that, the corruption. We're in debt up to way over our heads, way over the, anything that's reasonable. And here, the squad, and the squad is a group of 8 Dems, progressives in the House, and they filed $224 million in earmarks in the federal budget that got passed. And this is according to OpenTheBooks.com. And all went to leftist ideologies. They had 21 earmarks funded for environmental justice, focal point of the New Deal. Presley, $1 million earmark for intergenerational trauma-informed waterfront green spaces. $2 million to help by OPIC residents stay cool. 1.7 from Jamal Bowman to environmental leaders of color. Other earmarks from the Democratic Socialists went toward immigration initiatives. Alexander Cortez, $500,000 for new immigrant community empowerment. They're advocating for citizenship for all illegals. This is what AOC wants, citizenship for all the illegals. And in other words, they filed a total of 113 earmarks, all these millions of dollars they filed for. They secured 90 for 112.7 last year. And then this year, they outdid themselves with 224 million in earmarks, all going to liberal causes. Your taxpayer money at work to what? Destroy your own country. Every earmark they had is anti-American, anti-capitalist, anti-the Constitution, and you're paying for the nation's destruction.
All righty, we're going to be back.
Something wrong here, right?
Right after this with a whole lot more. And I think we're going to open at the phone lines, too, at 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673. Be right back.
On a cold winter's morning, on a sidewalk in the city, a lost soul approached me as the snow was getting deep. I could see the look of death. It was there in her eyes now. As I began to preach, she began to speak. She said,
"Peter, I'll admit it. I've come to kill my baby. The whole world is telling me that I have that right. But deep down inside me, I believe what you're preaching. Children are a gift of God. We've got to give them life."
So I put my arm around her, and I gave her the gospel. It was right there in the darkness that she'd see the light. Two souls were saved there, both her and her baby. If you're called to do the Lord's work, you had better learn to do it right. You've got to know how to please Him. Not just to please Him. Don't try to walk. Knows the rock of his salvation. I will separate the goats from all of his sheep. All men are sinners. They all need the Savior. He's the only one to trust in. It's your soul that he'll keep. And when I finish the preaching,
woman was a believer. A baby in her womb, I knew she would keep. And now 25 years later, her baby is a young preacher. She's so very proud of the baby that she decided to keep. You got to know how to please Him. Not just to please Him. Don't try and walk away from Him. Not just to please Him. Don't try to walk away. There's nowhere to run. You better count your blessings and do it while you're able. He's the keeper of your soul now. He's got the Son. You got to know how to please Him. Not just to please Him. Don't try and walk away. While you're able, He's the keeper of your soul now. He's got the Son.
All right. That's one of my favorite songs because it's a true story. Very true. All right. We got Bob in Brunswick. Hey, Bob, you're in the air.
Hi, Pastor Ernie. I'm going to put out three things and then I'll go off the phone to hear your comment. First, the movie Civil War. Second, the WHO meeting in the end of May to discuss the vote to see whether there's a pandemic or whatever. where they would have total control of all the countries. And the last thing is I heard the president of Ukraine bought himself a castle in Europe and his parents a mansion in Florida. I don't know if that's true, but the top two are important. Thanks, and I'll take your answer off the air.
All right, very good. Go ahead, Joe. I'll let you take them.
Well, I haven't heard anything about the castle or the mansion. I didn't see a thing about it anywhere. I'm trying to remember the other part.
Well, the World Health Organization.
That's what they're pushing, but every nation has to vote. And I think Biden has said that he's going to vote to go along, that we're going to vote to go along with it. But
of course,
as a people, we can sure, this is a case where civil disobedience, we're not going to go along with what the World Health Organization says. I know I'm not. I know Pastor Ernie isn't. And there's going to be millions and millions of us resisting that one, I guarantee you.
All right. What was the first one? Maybe I know. Kenny knows. Hey, Kenny, what was the first question?
I was trying to think of it myself. It slipped my mind.
All righty. There you go.
I got hung up on the train. I hadn't heard a thing about the buying. That was like, there's so much misinformation, disinformation. I mean, it could possibly be true. Ukraine is corrupt. The people running the country are corrupt. But at the same time, I would think that'd be a far bigger story. And I haven't seen it anywhere that my sources that I call reliable news sites, they would have it, I believe, if it were true.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything about it either. And I'm usually onto this stuff all day long, but all right, very good.
Pastor, it was the movie Civil War.
That's right, the movie That's Civil right. War. Now, I've heard a lot about this movie. Is that a new movie, Ken?
Yeah, it just came out either last week or the week before.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about the movie, but I haven't seen it, so I don't really know how to comment on it. Do you, Joe?
No, because I haven't seen it. We don't see a lot of movies where I am, and I don't spend a lot of money to get all that Netflix or the movie channels and stuff. So
the only thing I can say is Steve Krause, who was on earlier, said that he saw it twice. That he thought it was a really good movie, and both sides are kind of complaining about it, thinking that it's showing them in the wrong light, Republicans, Democrats. So he said, go into it with an open mind. It's going to show you things that you would actually see if there was a civil war, he said. It's rated R for violence, no sex in it, but some adult language and violence.
Yeah,
well,
Steve.
Yeah, well, a civil war would be rather violent. Some of us had spent a little time in Nam, yeah.
Yeah, well, Steve was in church today. He was at the conference, him and Joe. Anyhow, he did mention that when he was speaking. He did mention the movie. I asked people if they'd seen that, the Civil War, but he never really got into it. So, anyhow, maybe if it comes around here, I'll go look at it. I don't know. So, there you go. The House Republican call for Speaker Johnson's ouster over the $95 billion foreign plan. I don't know. How do you think that's going to go, Joe?
I was so upset. They capitulated on all fronts. Instead of secure the border, then we'll look at giving money to save Ukraine, save the world. Save America should have been first. I've just heard both sides. I'm just so upset with all of the people there. Not enough people stood up for the American citizen. We got the best government money can buy, but they're the best bought and paid for whores around.
Well, every time you think, well, maybe this guy will be better, then they go and they sell us out. We get so tired.
Well, we know who we wanted. Remember, right there in Ohio, you've got the man that should
have Jim Jordan, yeah.
Jim Jordan is an honest man that would have taken he would have done the right thing. That's why they didn't want to elect him.
Yeah, he wouldn't compromise.
That's why he didn't get the job, see.
I know. Well, from now until the Lord returns, we're going to be in a constant conflict with the world. And so, there you go.
Real quick, before we get to the next caller, by the way, you got Cliff in New York waiting on hold. He's Bob called back, and he brought up the movie about the train derailment in East Palestine and kind of wanted to correlate that with Civil War. Want to know your thoughts on if they were doing something like foreshadowing what they're doing type thing.
Well, okay, go ahead. And did you just put that out over the air?
Yes. Everyone heard that.
Okay, well, good, yeah. And so the reason I said that, folks, is a lot of times he's just talking to me in my headset and you can't hear him. But, yeah, so really since we didn't see it, you know, we really can't comment. But, yeah, I don't put anything past him at all. This is deep state. We're at war. And the problem of it is, these very same fools that are wanting to push us into a civil war, they have to live here, too. They have to live here, too. And
But before we could even get to a civil war, we have all these Chinese military-age soldier-looking types running around. We've got the people from all over the world, terrorists, gangsters. We have enough problems that we brought in. We're going to see things like train derailments. We're going to see things like dams blown up. We're going to see power stations gone. We're going to see some kind of attack from within, from any number of these different groups, from from cartels to the terrorists, Chinese communists. Who knows? But we're going to be hit like that. We're very vulnerable in a lot of ways. Like that train derailment at East Palestine, our electric grid isn't really secure. Our railroad tracks aren't secure. Our big vendor movie houses. Think about all the things where people congregate. There's no protection. There's no security. This is a free nation. We've never had it. So I guess what you'd say, the enemy within has a target-rich environment, and we will suffer for letting these people in.
Well, you know, when we're all of these areas where you have large numbers of people gather, those are all no-gun zones, whether they're
right.
at football
They've made
games.
No-gun zones, so they're totally vulnerable.
They're going to be the targets, right, absolutely going to be the targets.
Well, remember back with the guy that shot up the movie theater, he went by, three or four movie theaters. There was no sign saying you can't have a concealed weapon. And the first theater he came to that had a no concealed carry, that's the theater he attacked.
Yeah.
And I mean, it makes a lot of sense. You're going to go where the people are not protected.
Absolutely. All right, we've got Clifford in the air.
Oh,
hello,
yeah,
Clifford.
Hi. I want to go to Psalm 92, the beginning, in a second, but just a couple of quick things. I was talking to someone that got the COVID this year, who's in the medical profession, actually. She's got patients. But she said that bromelain, which is derived from the pineapple, the stem, seemed to get rid of it pretty quickly. And that's also on the list for people that took the shots as to take bromelain. And one other thing, we're just talking about Alexander Soros. He's been in New York hanging out with Umar Abedin, dating apparently. What a match. But on Psalm 92, you were talking about people not fearing hell. And I find that interesting where it says the brutish see people flourishing like grass, and they're deceived by that. What do you think of that?
Which verse is that, Psalm 92?
At the beginning of Psalm 92, like the first few verses, it says the brutish, talks about the brutish, and then it talks about the flourishing like grass.
Okay, it says, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord.
Well, verse 6 is brutish. He's down at verse 6.
Okay, the brutish,
yeah,
man
brutish
knoweth
man
not,
not,
neither doth the fool. Okay, neither doth the fool understand. In other words, he's referring to him as senseless. And I think he says the same thing, if I remember, over in Psalm 73, where he refers to the same thing, the brutish man or the senseless man. In Psalm 73, I think it was verse 22. Let me see. I think it explains that.
While you're looking, you look at verse 5, kind of gives you a clue. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. And then he said, the brutish and the foolish do not understand, because God's ways are so far above them, there's no comprehension with their stupidity.
Yeah, in Psalm 73, and he tells you that he reproaches God daily. That's exactly what the fools do here. Those that mock God, Soros, his son, all of those that mock God. And so
they have their place in the lake of fire already set.
Yep.
Yeah, but then he's using the grass as like, okay, there's like a deception where they seem to be surrounded by almost like prosperity, flourishing.
Right.
And they're deceived by that, and then it says they'll be destroyed forever, which is basically...
Well, that's always been the case. Look, all through history, when God has prospered Israel, and he's prospered the nations, once they become very wealthy, they turn against God. They turn against the very one that prospered them, and they credit themselves for their prosperity. And look at all of the wicked people here that are supporting these things, these billionaires, all Democrats. They're all wicked, and they're all rich.
They're prospering now, but they're going to pay dearly later. That's why I like the grass. They're springing up, but grass what? Withers and dies in the end, right?
Absolutely. And there's got to be a special hot place for George Soros in hell.
Yeah. But we are born again, and we will continue to have a marvelous, wonderful, everlasting life through Christ. And they will be like the grass that withers and dies, only they go to the what? Where dead grass goes to get burned.
All right, well, you started it, because it's time to give that invitation. Oh. So you might as well just go ahead and continue.
Well, the question to ask the listeners out there, and those of you that are born again, really don't mind hearing it, because you realize we are reaching out to those who haven't made a decision. Are you going to heaven, or are you going to hell? Scripture tells us we have all sinned. There's no one on this earth that does good that sinneth not. And we also know that sin has a great price. The scripture tells us the soul that sinneth shall die. In Romans 6:23, the wages of sin are death. So we know that all men, Bible says what? We're all appointed men once to die, but after this the judgment. And then Scripture in Revelation says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life is cast in the lake of fire. So we got these choices. It sounds like kind of a scary scenario there, but there is great hope, because the Lord sent his only begotten Son to pay the price for our sins. You know, we know that famous line, God so loved the world he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus went to the cross and paid a substitutionary death for our sins, for your sins, for my sins, Pastor Ernie's sins, for all that would accept him. And he willingly went there. He would have gone for just one person to save one soul. So the Father wants no one to perish. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And that's the key. We must repent of our sins that put his Son upon that cross. We must call upon the Father and repent to God that we're sorry that our sins, our horrible sins, put his wonderful, beloved Son on that cross and ask to be forgiven. And God will forgive us if we have a true, repentant heart. And there is nothing we can do. You know, we can't buy salvation. We can't earn it. We have to go to God with a repentant heart. And then we can call upon Jesus Christ, his Son, and ask Jesus to be Lord of our life, that we will give ourselves to him willingly, without reservation, to be his. We are bought and paid for by the blood of the Lamb. And Jesus will hear us, and he will give us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus said, I'm in the Father in me, and I am in you, my followers. So he gives us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We become, our bodies become a temple of the living God. We become our own high priest. We have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, a one-on-one. He's our advocate to God, but we can talk directly to him. And we become, that's our spiritual birth, rebirth, our spiritual rebirth. The baptism that we're told to go and do is an outward visible sign of that indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that change in us. We become a new creature, a new man. We become essentially a child of the kingdom and a joint heir with Jesus in everlasting life. And we then are on the path. We are pilgrims in this world, then, just passing through. Our home is now in heaven. We're just passing through, and we are to reach out and tell others about our salvation, how God saved us from our sin, from ourselves, and we are to witness to others to help them see, because the Holy Spirit is the one that really convicts the heart. We say the words, we get people to listen and think. And then the Holy Spirit convicts you of your sins. And it's a process, and then it's a continual thing. When you're born again, you feel joy, happiness, peace, and you will want that gift for others, especially those that you love. But you will start to want that for all mankind. So it's a decision you have to make. It's something we can tell you the process. We can tell you what to do.
1 minute, Joe.
But you need to search your hearts, and tonight would be a good time if you're not saved. Tonight would be the best time in the world to think about it, to call upon the Father, to realize that you're a sinner and you need a Savior, and he sent you one. A perfect, perfect Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world, and call on him, and do it now while you can. We never know when we're going to be called, when we're going to be called home, when we leave this world. And there is no one in heaven or hell who regrets. Everybody now knows that there is a God, there is a heaven, there is a hell. There are no unbelievers. And I've never met, and I know Pastor Ernie will back me up, neither one of us have ever met anyone who has regretted being saved and taking that new life, that new, become a new creature.
Yep, I don't think we ever will. Well, we're out of time for tonight, so as we do every night at this time, we say good night, and then we say, for all you folks out there listening, God bless you.
May God bless you all.
And then always, ready? Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.